Hometown Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking up to 2 p.m. No Emil Fragoso today as he gets better. Everybody dealing with a little something. A lot of people under the weather, so be sure to take care of yourselves and hydrate. Gotta hydrate. We will be joined in a different capacity by Nate Littlefield at some point during the show. And we're going to talk Niners, and we're going to have Nate put his analyst hat on. Ooh. Okay, he's a man of many hats. I've actually never seen. I've seen you wear a hat once, Nate, actually.
Beanie. I like beanies. He goes during the beanie winter, guy. But hat, I wear it backwards in honor of Brock Purdy.
That's right. You know, as you
unprofessional.
Should.
I don't respect the brand or anything or whatever.
No. Yeah. Terrible. I mean, you couldn't be my franchise guy. No.
CMC was wearing that hat backwards all day yesterday.
Yeah.
Well, he's not a quarterback.
We got to say something about those shirts, though. And I know that.
The NFC West.
And Dre Greenlaw said, "I'm tired of these shirts." They were bad shirts. Can I say that?
They were ugly.
They were
it's
terrible.
It's a lock.
Yeah. They look like shirts.
Really?
That's, I think, what it said. It's
yeah,
a lock.
It's a lock.
And Drew Lock doesn't even play for this team.
And look, Chris, I have to look. Christian McCaffrey, he's a solid 6 foot. He was drowning in that shirt. They look like the shirts that you get when you go to a game.
Yeah.
They're all double XL. What's going on there?
Yeah. You know, there's a lot of big guys in football. Maybe they're thinking they're going to wear them over their pads or something.
Yeah, that's a good call.
I mean,
not great
excuses.
Shirts.
Not
I
great
know
shirts.
Somebody probably bought them. So.
Come on.
I actually don't think a lot of Niner fans bought them. They're tired of NFC West.
The hat, too, I think said NFC Champions on it. Like, at least from on TV, that's what it looked like. And not yet.
Not yet.
Like, let's chill.
I don't think it said.
What is the appeal of a Niner fan buying a 2023 NFC West champion shirt? Like that commercial
to burn
comes
your money?
Out. Yeah, right.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Who cares?
How many people do you think actually? Well, actually, I must say, so we're going to our first. You went as a fan for the first time in years. And ended up going to the Keegan Murray game. I am going with the wifey Friday to the Suns.
Oh man.
So
nice.
we were at Arden.
You're not going to get Bradley Beal.
We were at Arden but hopefully we get a beam.
Yeah.
We were at Arden on Friday, and we did the picture taking.
Oh, okay.
My daughter
nice.
Cried with Santa. You know, it's a
yeah.
It had to happen. And you know, my wife is like, hey, I got to get a King shirt. So
yeah,
we got a King shirt.
Dude, I tell everyone this. Just media discount at the game.
But when I was in there, well, I didn't think about that. That's a good call. But when I was in there,
30%.
I saw Pacific Division. Swag.
Yeah.
And I wondered.
Let's chill on that.
No, I just wondered as a Kings fan, maybe it's a little bit different.
No,
Niner fans
different.
Win
yeah.
the NFC West all the time.
Right.
Pacific Division, Kings hadn't been in the playoffs in a very long time. I guarantee you there are a lot of Kings fans that bought
this is
Pacific
the third,
Division.
Oh, yeah.
Third
sure.
time, I think, right? Ever in franchise history last year?
Yeah, third time and first time since like 03, 04.
It's also kind of a meme, too. So maybe you get it ironically. Like, it's funny, kind
it's
of.
First time in 20 years.
Yeah.
I think it's fine.
Yeah,
it's like if you're not going to buy, like there's so many people who are like, if the Kings make the playoffs, I'm going to fly from New Jersey back to Sacramento. It's
right.
like, yeah, I mean, that's just a different version of it. It's like the Kings make the playoffs first time in 20 years. Yeah, I'm going to get every piece of memorabilia that says
completely
Kings
different.
Made the playoffs this year.
Completely
now,
different.
This year might be a little strange.
That's a good call. Yeah. But yeah, completely different to the Niners in that situation. Terrible shirts.
Yes.
Do you even care about an NFC championship, even if they do win the NFC?
I think
no, I'm over it.
I think
no,
you still
not
do.
Even, no. No,
I think
no.
you still do.
I, if you're talking to me, if you're telling me I do, I don't.
No, I'm not saying you, but I'm saying a lot of people would still.
I feel like
that's still
over it.
That's a big accomplishment.
I don't even care about
the
MVP
NFC.
Thing.
Super Bowl.
Well, we'll get into the MVP thing. Yeah. You don't have your analyst hat on yet.
Sorry. I'm
not
even an analyst, dude.
No, you are.
Say this
you
on
are.
Our
you
show.
Are.
You are.
No, I'm a stupid fan who they gave a show. I don't know why.
Well, don't sell yourself. Media.
That's exactly what I am.
I don't say the SH word on here. We don't say that word.
Oh, I forgot. You do use other words. You use the word vert a lot.
Yeah.
Zont.
Yeah. Zonts and verts. All right, we will talk to Nate a little bit later about more Niner stuff.
No.
No.
No. How tall are you going to be for vert?
We'll talk about it later, Nate.
Okay, sorry.
When you have on your analyst hat.
Okay.
Our own Frankie Cardicelli put out this tweet. What was it, yesterday morning or this morning?
Yesterday morning.
So yesterday morning, here you go. Keegan Murray has been a different player since returning from a back injury. First 13 games, 13.2 points, 39% field goal percentage, 28% three-point percentage. And the last seven games, Keegan Murray is averaging 19.7 on 53% field goal percentage and shooting 50% from three-point range. Oof. As we continue to have this conversation, and, you know, we were talking about Harrison Barnes earlier and said, hey, the whole reason we have these conversations about trades is because you don't think that this team is good enough. And it's been a while, and we can fire it up. We're definitely going to do Beeman or Dreamin after this stretch yes. and this gauntlet that the Kings have, so you won't want to miss that next week. And I guess the question becomes, if Keegan is going to take a jump like this, is a trade even necessary? Has it moved you enough to, when I say necessary, not like when we have Kings Roundtable every Wednesday and Brendan Nunes and Frankie Carticelli say, you can wait it out and think this isn't your year. I'm not talking about it like that. Is it not necessary because you believe that the Kings, if Keegan is not going to drop 47 every day, but continue this rise, they could be legit contenders as presently constructed?
Right. Yeah, I mean, it definitely makes you start to think that it becomes less. And that's why I feel like, to kind of tie in both of those worlds, I feel like if you are going to make moves, if anything, if you do feel this way about, or feel more strongly, because I do think they felt that way about Keegan before. I think it's just a, we believe it, but we're not, I mean, can we say we're 100% sold on it? No. Right. I think that's where it lends itself more to be like, okay, well, again, maybe if we're having trade talks with the Bulls, maybe we don't need to have a Zach LaVine conversation, but we can have Alex Caruso, Patrick Williams conversations, Kobe White conversations. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe you say, let's give Keegan a little bit more time to kind of establish himself in that three role, and maybe we try and because we still do have some work around the edges that needs to be done as well. Backup center, backup point guard, you know, maybe another forward piece. There's still some other things that you can add and tinker with before you go out and make that move. So, yeah, I mean, I feel like after that performance especially, it's like I think this kid just – definitely bought himself. I mean, not that, you know, he was on a race or on track to get replaced, but I think he definitely bought himself some time in terms of, all right, let's see if he can be the consistent number three.
Yeah.
Because it's okay to do it, you know, nights, you know, once a week or once every other week. But, you know, realistically, especially when you're talking about being the third option, it'd be nice if they can get some consistency there so they can kind of rely. I mean, I would say Malik has pretty consistently been this team's second or third option. If Keegan can kind of slide into maybe where Malik has really excelled so far through points in this season, I think that could definitely help them kind of get out of these deep trade talks, or, you know, trade rumors, I should say, not trade talks.
Yeah, and the question, well,
because the Kings are attached to everybody.
Right. It could be how much more of a rope does Keegan get? Mm-hmm. Now, the rope continues to get longer. That's why I think this stretch is really important.
Right.
That's why, dare I say, I think this week is incredibly important for Keegan. This game, I don't know that De'Aaron will be back yet, but regardless, you can't disappear. Right, you can't go iceberg.
Yeah,
right,
we like to call those Willie Cauley Steins, where you get 10 rebounds one game and then you get zero the next, and it's like he's averaging 5 rebounds a game.
If you think about who they have coming up this week, okay, and you're gonna get De'Aaron, I would assume you're gonna get De'Aaron back at some point.
Right.
You get the Celtics,
yeah,
and you get Keegan doing something against the Celtics, and then the
Suns.
Some
real competition, competition,
and then the Timberwolves again. I mean. I love talking about optics, and I think that they really do matter. And this could change the course of how Keegan is viewed. Keegan was the guy to where you have your national, you know, a lot of these guys, these analysts, they're not watching the Kings every day.
No.
So they hit a lot of the same points. Yeah, you know, if Keegan Murray can be that third option, and they all say the same thing.
They do.
This is where, okay, I'm actually going to pay attention to this guy.
Yeah.
This guy is going to be talked about in all these player podcasts and things like that. This is a huge week for the Kings in general, and because it's huge for the Kings, it's huge for Keegan Murray. I do have a quick story when you talk about doing something, and I have a list that we're going to read through the most random 50-point games in the NBA. But freshman year baseball, right, at De La Salle, there was a guy who, it was a doubleheader. And he, throughout the doubleheader, he hit two home runs in one game. And he hit one home run in the next game. And he was, you know, he was a starter. We were starting, and sure, he was a good player. But he hit three home runs in the throughout the course of two games of doubleheader. Right. And the varsity coach happened to be there.
Ah.
And it changed the trajectory of his career, right? And ever since that, we were all waiting for him. He had a good career to, hey,
right.
We know he's got it. We know he can do it. So it's funny when things like that happen, there is a rope that you have, but you have to, you cannot fall off a cliff.
Right.
And I don't think Keegan will fall off a cliff at all. But I am very interested to see how he now reacts to this.
Sure.
That first shot that he takes tonight,
yeah.
everybody's going to be holding their breath. And yeah. I am praying that it goes in.
Yeah.
Because I think
he's going to set the roof off
been,
if it
right,
does.
Right. You've never been in this situation before. No. So how could Keegan, and I think that's why being even keel, although it might not make for the craziest sound bites, is really good.
yeah.
To
never
be
too high, never too low.
Exactly. As a professional. So we will get into this when we get back, because this is a pretty funny list. And the reason we want to do it is because when something like this happens, it's really, as much as it's about it happening, it's also about what happens next.
Yeah,
right?
100%.
All right, got to get to a break. We'll be right back. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
This is Sacktown Sports.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. 916-339-1140. If you want to be a part of the conversation, the Sack Chat is having a ball, as always. Shout out to the YouTube chat. And if you're driving and you are about to be home, you can fire us up on the Sacktown Sports app, or you can hop in the YouTube and be a part of the Sack Chat as well. So Keegan Murray and what he did is outstanding. And I do think it's a really important piece to, obviously, that 47 is going to balloon his average, bringing him to 19.7 points a game the last seven games. But it's not as if Keegan had been playing poorly and then balled out. He had been playing well. He just took it to another level. And I think that's really important and an important piece to this, because there have been some one-offs. And I'm going to go through it. No, he didn't have a 50-burger, but he would have. If Steph can say Clay would have had 18 threes, then we can say that Keegan spiritually had a 50-burger. And when you now evaluate Keegan, I want to read this list thinking, okay, where these people were in their careers and how much we should change our outlook on Keegan because of what he did.
Right.
Because there are some people that just get hot.
Yeah,
right.
Definitely.
I gave the example before the break. My guy hit three home runs in two games, and I don't think he ever did it again.
Yeah. No, right? And I don't mean to step on your list, but I know, like, Corey Brewer has a 50.
I'll be in here.
I know Tony Delk has a 50. Like, they're you know, these guys are NBA basketball professionals, and, you know, you give them – give him a couple shots to go in, you know, anything can happen on a given night with these guys.
So this is from Bleacher Report, and I'm sure there have been more since, but this is from Bleacher Report in 2020.
Okay.
Right? So here are they call it the top 10 most surprising 50-point games in NBA history.
Well, number one, the fact that there's been 10 unlikely 50-point games is, you know, kind of does – it, you know, it does sour it just a little bit.
But it's the way it happened.
No, for
right?
sure.
And
yeah.
where these guys were in their careers. We know, I mean, Keegan, I believe, was, I would assume, youngest of 47 or close up.
Probably maybe earliest in his career. I did see, that was threes. Kobe, he's like the youngest to have 12 threes in a game since Kobe.
Yeah. Well, he was the youngest. No, I just read that. I was talking about
the scoring
in total,
yeah.
but Keegan Murray is the youngest to have 12 threes in an NBA game.
Gotcha.
He's got that crown. Okay, that is a record. Okay, so number 10, Mo Williams.
Ooh, shout out Mo Williams. Wow.
Mo Williams.
Is that in Cleveland?
That was
yikes.
He was with the Timberwolves. And dropped it on the Pacers in 2015.
I didn't even remember Mo Williams played for the Timberwolves.
He actually,
in 2015 is crazy.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Shout out Mo Williams, who was supposed to be the second piece to LeBron's championship.
That mark stood as a franchise record until Karl-Anthony Towns, 56 in 2018.
Wow.
I don't even know. I mean, 56?
56 is nuts. That's the most DeMarcus ever got in a game, too. That's crazy. And Cat was probably really young when that happened, too. That's nuts.
Yeah, he would have had to be. He would have had to be. Okay, next.
Definitely pre-Anthony Edwards.
You have Vernon Maxwell.
Sure. Shout out okay. Vernon Maxwell.
Vernon Maxwell in 1991.
Yeah, Houston.
Okay, next. You have Caris LeVert. I think we all randomly knew.
Yeah, that's super random. I forgot about that 50 piece, though. Yeah.
Yeah, Caris LeVert with a 50 piece. And
that tracks for him.
And what happens is there are certain people to where they'll drop it, and then what do people say? No, people don't understand. He been like that.
Right.
And then he never – really?
Because he doesn't do it again. Yeah.
Well, our guy, just a couple days ago, as Kings took him down, right? And I'm thinking, what exactly is it that you do here?
Cam Thomas.
I was going to say 41.
I'm honestly surprised Cam Thomas hasn't had a 50 point game.
Oh, he will.
He's primed for it. He's primed for that Caris LeVert where it's like you said. Oh, actually, Cam Thomas been doing this in summer league for y'all who aren't paying attention.
Basically, there's always going to be a random Nets player who's just putting up shots and is going to get a 50 burger at some point. Okay, next, Andre Miller.
There's no way that man scored 50.
Andre Miller did it with the Blazers. Mm-hmm. In 2010.
It's not even a score.
In 2010, 22 of 31 from the field against the Dallas Mavericks.
That's crazy. I remember Andre Miller when he was with the Kings. He was like 39 at that point. But to think that he ever scored 50 in a game doesn't even make sense.
It doesn't.
Like his game, even when he was like 32, he was playing like an old man at the Y.
Yeah.
Which is great. I mean, his game is awesome, but 50 points I would not expect.
Taking it back to the 70s, number six on the list, Walt Wesley.
Sure, why not?
1971.
I got nothing on our
Wesley
boy Walter.
Came out of nowhere to score 50
sure
points
did.
Against the Cincinnati Royals.
Oh,
that was
you
Walt
hate
Wesley.
To see it.
There
you
go.
Hate to see it.
Number five, this is another one I think everybody remembers, Terrence Ross.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot. And Terrence Ross is another one, much like Caris LeVert, where it's like, hey, man, yeah,
oh, no, y'all
put up buckets. Yeah.
Real hoopers know.
Come
real
on.
Real hoopers know that Terrence Ross can put up 50. Number four, you have Willie Burton.
Yeah, definitely a surprise for sure.
Yep, 53-point game from Willie Burton. He only has one other game over 30.
Okay.
There you go, Willie
That's
Burton.
That's one more than I would have guessed.
There you go. Number three, Tracy Murray, not Tracy McGrady.
And not
Tracy Murray.
Keegan?
Prior to the 1997-98 season, Tracy Murray had averaged 9.4 points. The most shots he'd hit in a game was 15. The most free throws he'd hit was 8. On February 1998, he topped both marks on the way to 50 on 18 of 29 shooting against the Golden State Warriors.
Ooh.
And he may have exercised a demon along the way. Number two, Tony Delk.
A little extreme.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Please report.
Exercise a demon along the
Number
way.
Two, Tony Delk.
Hey, and that was against the Kings, if I'm not mistaken. Or yeah,
yes,
it was.
Against
the
was
Kings.
On the, he was on the Suns on December 23rd, 2000. Tony Delk scored 26 points against the Denver Nuggets. Oh, no, the Denver Nuggets.
Oh, was he
on the
Kings?
Against it tied a career high.
There we go.
Mm-hmm. Just over a week later in 2001, January 2nd, he went 20 of 27 from the field on his way to 53 points.
That one hurts. There's still some horror stories out there. If you ask G-Man and you ask Jason Ross about like, hey, do you guys remember that Tony Delk 50-point game? Both of them, I've heard just a collective sigh of like, yeah, that was a game. And, you know, that was when, you know, the Kings were honestly pretty good too. And it was just like, how did this random short point guard just come in here and score 50-plus?
So it gets even better. It gets even better. This is how they end it. As you might suspect, most of the rest of this list makes up big men. Tony Delk stands just 6'1", and that list is Delk didn't hit a single three-pointer in that game, making him one of 34 players in the three-point era to score 50 without hitting a three-point shot.
You know how many shots you got to put up? It must have been Tony Delk and the Milk Boys or something. Like, what is going on? That's...
He went 20 for 27.
That efficiency is actually crazy, too. And he didn't take a single three? Oh, come on.
He never topped 30 again in his career.
Yeah, that's about right.
And the 20 shots he made almost doubled any other performance from his career.
Great, love that. That is some really, like, even when the Kings were good, they still showed that in their DNA.
This is actually not the right mojo for tonight's game against the lowly Wizards.
Nah, it's fine. It's fine. The Kings will be fine.
Don't call us.
They'll be fine.
Oh, yeah,
who's number one on the list?
Number one, Corey Brewer.
Oh, yeah.
Corey Brewer had played six seasons in the NBA before he returned to Minnesota for the 13-14 season. His career average was 9.5 points on 46% or 41.6% shooting. And his career three-point percentage was 29.8%. On April 11th, 2014, he had an out-of-body experience
he sure did.
Way to 51 points on 19 of 30 shooting from the field and 11 of 15 shooting from the free throw line. Prior to that game, Brewer's career highs for points and field goals and free throws were 29, 12, and 10.
Yeesh.
Yeah. After the game, LeBron James was asked about the performance per Tom Haberstroh. LeBron, hear about that Corey Brewer? Nah. He scored he scored 51 tonight. Wait, who? LeBron James, which actually and that's number one on the list, Corey Brewer. Which reminds
me, we got a much better reaction out of Steph at least.
Yes, which reminds me of this weekend with Kevin Durant coming at Grimes saying we can't let who is this?
Quentin Grimes. We can't let him get 11.
So that's pretty funny, this list, and I'm sure there are a bunch of other random ones. I mean, if you were to ask people, hey, has Karl-Anthony Towns scored 50? A lot of people would probably say no.
Yeah.
I think when you read this and you see the randomness, I actually feel better about what Keegan Murray did because everything he did looked – it didn't look random.
Right.
It didn't look
Those are spectacular nights. Right, yeah, those are, oh my gosh, tonight I'm feeling it. It is my night.
Yes. Yes. And that is why,
for the most part, in the flow.
Could you make the argument, which is very similar to the Klay Thompsons and the Steph Currys when the game is out of hand, could you make the argument that Mike Brown even thought that and said, hey, I'm not going to force anything here because, and Mike Brown, I've been, you know, the post-game press conference, he says, this is one of the best shooters I've ever coached.
Yeah.
And we know the laundry list of elite shooters that Coach Mike Brown has been around. So maybe it's, hey, I'm going to take him out as a way to show him and show the team and show the organization, you'll be back.
Yeah.
This isn't some, whoa, we have to get everything we can. We got to milk it because who knows?
A special night,
Who knows when you'll be back? No, Keegan.
Sure.
I'm not going to force anything and put the team in a bad situation on some stupidity for a record. Number one, because I'm a good coach. I'm the reigning coach of the year. And number two, because I think you'll be back.
I love it.
It still burns.
Whatever the reason was, I loved it. I thought I definitely think it was in the flow of everything. It felt very, I wouldn't say repeatable because, he was clearly on a heater, but it definitely didn't feel like at any point he was pressing. It wasn't like Keegan was bringing the ball down the floor and calling for ISOs and sticking it in dudes' faces. It was just, and also, I mean, I don't know if we have time to talk. No need, but it's Utah. Also, what were y'all doing?
Yeah.
Because they were just leaving him, and at some point it's like, you want to double this guy? Like, I'm loving this show. It's great. But
it was
y'all maybe want to put more attention towards this guy?
I don't know. Maybe it's because when you think about doubling, it's a guy who's going to dance and create more off the dribble. Keegan's beginning to do that. I don't know. Because he's a spot-up shooter, maybe you didn't feel
like
enough time.
Maybe the Kings have so many weapons.
Maybe the Jazz are just trash. I don't know. I think it's D, all of the above. That's what I always pick on Scantron anyway. All right, got to get to a break. When we get back, have your expectations for the Kings changed? Is tonight a huge night, even though it's just against the Wizards? We'll explain why. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports.
Check us out on YouTube. Search Sacktown Sports and subscribe.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. Nate Littlefield behind the glass, doing a great job for us as always as we get you ready for Kings, Wizards, and Jordan Poole, the Jacuzzi. Ooh. Kyle Kuzma, you still interested? Wasn't he January? Because he was signed.
Yes, he was just signed this offseason. I would say I've got some intrigue in Kyle Kuzma. During the summer, I was a little off it. I felt like he was going to make 25-plus million. I think he ended up making 23 averaged. It's fine. It's splitting hairs.
That's
but
not bad.
After seeing, you know, and, you know, as we were talking earlier about not bashing on Harrison Barnes, after watching what HB has brought this season, I do wonder, you know, if you just, you know, swap one for the other, if the Kings maybe are more aggressive on Kuzma and let Harrison walk, what does it look like? Would it have worked out? It makes me kind of feel like, you know, maybe if you're looking at a possible missed opportunity, maybe it's a slight missed opportunity, but it's nothing to lose sleep over. But it's definitely something that's, you know, you got to think, maybe that would have been, it would have been worth the risk, because I do think it would have been a slight risk. But seeing him offensively this year, I mean, and who knows what he would have looked like in this offense, but he just got a lot of tools that make it feel like, I would like to see what this looks like in a winning environment.
Mm-hmm. Do you guys think the Wizards should be this bad?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I mean, when Jordan Poole is your best, like Jordan Poole and Kyle Kuzma are the guys that you're relying on, and you have Trey Jones, Tyus Jones as your point guard, who's, I think everybody says they love as like an elite backup point guard, but when he's your starting point guard, you have a bottom five starting point guard in the NBA. Yeah, I mean, they're now, should they have three wins? Probably a little
bit
more.
Four.
Oh, they have four now. Okay, good on y'all, good on y'all. But no, I mean, it feels like they should definitely be one of the worst teams in the NBA for sure.
So, not to sleep on anybody, we don't know if De'Aaron Fox, hopefully we will have that more of a confirmation for you as we get closer to the end of the show and more so closer to the beginning of the drive, guys.
By the way, sorry, the Wizards are also allowing by far the most points to their opponents. 126 points per game is what they allow opponents.
126
points per game. Yes.
So the Wizards
are pretty much like if every single night the opposing team played like the Kings did last year offensively, pretty much, and then some.
To answer Nate's question, I'm actually going to disagree with you. I don't think they should be this bad. I don't think they should be this bad. And, you know, you have a team here 4-21. The East is better, but it's not the West, okay? And
like, yeah, to your point, should they be worse than the Hornets? Like, they should probably be near the Hornets.
No,
right?
And you look here, it's just, and I saw a clip yesterday of Jordan Poole. They were down four. I think that's how the game ended. And he took a random three, down four, with, I don't know, it was about 30 seconds left. It banks off. It was one of the most ridiculous shots I've ever seen. And I say all that to say, to not sleep. Obviously, the Suns are missing Bradley Beal, but the Suns, it was a close game. The Suns won 112-108. So you sleepwalk, you don't want to be that team that gets embarrassed. And I got to say, out of all of the gotta-have games, this is a must-win in a different way.
Yeah.
Not because the Kings are struggling or anything like that. But you have a team that is 4-21, coming off a traveling back-to-back.
Right.
And you're chilling at home.
Right.
During a homestand.
After a high on Saturday.
You have to win this basketball game. You have to. You have to.
No excuses, really.
And we have Deuce Mason, who's been doing a great job, as always, in all the different platforms he's on. He tweeted, if the Kings win tonight, it'll be their best 25-game start to a season since 04-05.
I mean, and yeah, that's crazy. If the Kings do, I mean, again, they should win tonight, but if for them to have, you know, De'Aaron now out for how many games has it been total? I mean, six games or whatever this season already. And for them to have that as their record, I mean, if they can have the best record in 20 years and go through the adversity and the ups and downs and Keegan looking bad for 13 games and then good and Kevin Huerter being up and down and Harrison Barnes, we want more out of him. If we feel like we can still go to another level just with this collection of guys and they're producing wins at that rate and at a pretty tough schedule, how many times have we mentioned, the Wizards tonight will be the third Eastern Conference team the Kings have played this year?
Yeah.
For them to have that record, that level of success against really tough and quality opponents, and then you put it up the wins that they have this season, again, wins over pretty much all of the top six seeds, that's crazy. That's really crazy, and again, makes me think, you know, we've like you said, we've been tough on this team when it feels like they've needed to be, you know, needed a little bit of a jabbing. I don't know. Like when you see something like that, it is like, you know, this you can't forget that this team is incredibly successful. Like, forget all of the ups and downs and the nights that look terrible and the blowouts by 15 and 20. There's a heartbeat of a really, really good basketball team.
It's got the bones.
It's got the structure. It's got the foundation.
It's got good bones. Yeah. But that's why I'm saying we sit here and have all these conversations about trades. Are we underselling what this team can do? Because they have a belief.
Possibly.
So if you're going to say, especially with Keegan coming off of doing what he did, okay, so the Raptors want Keegan,
right,
and the Jazz for Lori want 18,000 first-round picks, and Zach LaVine costs $46 million a year, which is only going to go up.
Right.
And you're telling me that the biggest issue we have is getting Harrison Barnes engaged,
right,
and when you need Harrison Barnes, when De'Aaron doesn't play, a lot of times he does show up for you.
Yeah.
And you're in the middle of the ascension of Keegan Murray and a Keegan Flurry and a Threegan Murray.
Yeah.
Don't force things. My uncle
says,
he's, you know, in Panama right now, haste make waste. Don't force things if you don't have to. I got to read this. We got to get to break. Nate's giving me the Dame Lillard. Or should I say the Tyrese Halliburton?
No, you shouldn't. You should not say that.
These are some of the scores from the Wizards.
Mm-hmm.
The Wizards lost to the Sixers, right? They lost to the Sixers by 5 December 6th, 131 to 126.
Okay.
They lost to the Nets next game, 97 to 124.
Okay.
They lost to the Sixers a couple days later, 146 to 101. 146 to 101.
Yeah.
After that, they lost to the Pelicans 142 to 122. After that, they beat the Pacers, actually, on the 15th, 137 to 123. And as we mentioned, they hung around with the Suns 112 to 108. So that would tell me, based on just reading that, they're due for another blowout.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking
they
at it.
They don't play well. They played well for the last two games. They are not going to play well again.
It's a good way of looking at
Keegan
it for sure.
Keegan Murray might have, I mean, Keegan Murray might get that 50 burger tonight.
No, I mean, I'm looking at it. The Wizards have allowed over 140 points five times already this season. Like, and the Kings are an elite. Like, and I'm looking at the teams that they allowed them to. The Pelicans scored 142. You mentioned Sixers scored 146.
Mm-hmm.
They allowed 142 to the Bucks, 146 again to the Sixers, and then 143 to the Pacers. The Kings are at the offensive level of all those teams. To me, tonight isn't even about the offense. It's about the defense because I'm looking at some of these scores, even with these high point totals. Like, they lost to the Sixers 131 to 126, lost to the Magic 130-125. They still are putting up points. They lost to the Bucks 131-128.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get lost in the offense. You do have to still at the other end defend. And you know, this is where you might see the Kings' worst enemy coming, sneaking his head around. This morning, they did the three in the key and said who's going to be the Wizards' top scorer. All three, Verlade, Carmichael Dave, and Jason Ross, all said Kyle Kuzma.
Yeah.
If, you know, the Kings don't really have a guy. Again, they don't really have a guy that matches the size of Kuzma. Don't let that fool go crazy tonight because, again, the Wizards are a capable offensive scoring team.
Yeah.
We know the only thing Jordan Poole can do is light it up on a given night.
Yes.
Don't let that fool start feeling himself. The offense will come. The Kings' offense, I'm really not concerned, especially if De'Aaron's playing tonight. You can't forget about the defensive side of the ball, and you can't let those Wizards shooters who can get hot, don't let them get hot and don't let them start feeling themselves because they will put up buckets, and they can put it up just as well as you can, and it's just a matter of slowing them down, which, again, I don't think the Wizards run some high-level, lots-of-cuts offense. It's going to be just don't let those guys get in rhythm and don't fall in love with three-point shots.
If you're going to the game tonight, I would say it will be entertaining.
It'll definitely be entertaining.
In some capacity. Yeah. Yeah. You'll either be laughing, crying, or cheering. So I think it'll be a good test for the Kings to just stay the course. And to not, especially if De'Aaron doesn't play, stay the course. Don't look too far ahead because you know the gauntlet's coming up. So I think it's a great test for the Kings. When we get back, another Bay Area guy coming to Sacramento. JTA is now on the Kings. We talk JTA.
Viva.
And a little bit later in the show, we will be talking Niners. And yeah, I'm going to talk Jordan Poole. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
Styles and Watkins. Sacktown Sports taking you up to 2 p.m. We will be joined by Nate Littlefield around 1 o'clock in his Brock Purdy jersey. I asked Nate when he got the jersey.
It looks fresh.
His mother got it for him last season, so she believed, she knew, just like every other Niner fan.
She actually bought that for him during training camp.
When he was still 18th string.
No, she bought this pre-draft. He was still in college.
Wow.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people just know. They just know. So shout out to Nate's jersey.
What's up with clowning people for buying jerseys if people like new? What's up with that?
Like,
it's just you must be a new fan because that's really fresh out the box jersey.
I guess, yeah.
It's, you know, like, you know, because typically, you know, there's the I wear my jersey every Sunday and it's got my nacho stains and my.
It's literally.
I almost said victory stains, but that sounds. Sounds a little different.
So. Yeah. No. I'm just not a big jersey guy in general.
There's a lot of jersey, not shaming, but like jersey culture has definitely fallen off a cliff in general. Like just in terms of like back in the day, in the early 2000s, I say back in the day. You know, like you'd see music videos, people be wearing the football jersey. Football jerseys are done as like a wearing out in the wild. Mm-hmm. If you're not going to a football game, it's like not a fashion sense at all.
Oh, no, that's
done. You can at least get away with like a jersey
music
at a music festival.
Clothing has tightened up, though, and jerseys are not like fitted to your body. Like I'm wearing a sweatshirt under this. I think that might have to do with it somewhat.
Trust me, they were not wearing jerseys that fit back
in
the
day.
They were too big.
They were massive.
That's what I mean.
Oh, you're clothes saying they're fit more too now, like, fitting now, the jerseys?
Yeah. No. I'm saying jerseys now are still big like that, but style overall has changed to where
pants are tighter, shirts are tighter. The slim fit era. Yeah. Kind of ruined
like
jerseys.
That picture of, the 03 NBA draft where everyone's got the biggest suit on versus whatever 2018
I had a ankles generic Stanford football jersey and I would wear a hoodie under it just random. It was not great fashion.
What's your no hitter story?
Okay.
Come on.
I'm dying. I'll get to the no hitter story
right now
after we hear 916-339-1140 from the text line. We gotta hold on, Nate. That's a after 1 o'clock story. All right. The people want to hear about Threegan Fleury.
You guys
are
too structured. I think we just go crazy.
I'm sure you would like
I think
that.
You open the show with your no-hitter.
That's not what
a couple
we're
hours
do.
On it.
I will get to the no-hitter before the show is over.
And it wasn't
the Sack Chat can hold me to that. You can hold me to that. I will,
I've got
I will
it in
get
the
to that story.
Now.
No,
official.
We don't need to have it there. From the 530, hey, Styles and Watkins, regarding the Kawhi-Keegan comparisons, Keegan now has a higher career high than Kawhi. Kawhi's career high is 45. Ooh. Keegs is 47. Keegan is the superior offensive player when comparing year two Kawhi versus year two Keegan. That's interesting.
Yeah, I would say so. You know, there is also Kawhi was on a little bit of a different situation in year two. If I'm not mistaken, he was with those championship Spurs teams. So, yeah, he had a little bit of a reduced offensive role. But, yeah, I mean, Keegan's definitely, in terms of where he's at in his development, like his three-point shot is – much better than anything Kawhi had, even his mid-range game at this point in his career. But also, Keegan's older. Keegan's, 23 or 24 now? Right. Kawhi in his second season was 21. So you also have to factor that in a little bit.
It's kind of a wash.
Yeah, and, you know, I don't know. I'm still going to push back a little bit on saying Keegan is at the same career trajectory as Kawhi Leonard. Like, Kawhi Leonard is a finals MVP, two-time finals MVP, two-time NBA champion. And we're talking about Keegan Murray hopefully being the third option on this Kings team, maybe a second. Kawhi Leonard's a bona fide number one option. So, and the best defensive player.
Well,
in the
I'll
league,
make an argument right here.
No,
hold on now. But I don't know that. Was Kawhi first option on the Spurs?
I would say by the end of it. Yeah. By the time Tim Duncan and all them were gone, definitely.
And I'll tell you another thing.
Yeah.
I would say Fred VanVleet saved Kawhi Leonard in 2019.
You're right. You're completely right. Yeah, that Raptors team is definitely winning the title.
No, but I'm saying Fred VanVleet, if he doesn't lose his mind and create generational wealth for himself in the process, they do not beat
the Warriors. And three major injuries don't happen to the Warriors.
They don't beat the Warriors.
Sure.
I'm just saying.
Okay. Kawhi Leonard's a one-time NBA champion, finals MVP.
But you know where I'm going with this is that I think Kawhi is maybe a bit overrated.
No.
Yes.
I
and because of that, I would say that
I think he's underrated,
Keegan,
if anything.
How is he underrated?
Because he doesn't play, and so people assume, he doesn't play. And so, no, I mean, I would say that people don't talk enough about when he does play, he is even still the best or one of the top five players in the NBA.
We'll see this season.
He's played every game this season, and the Clippers are off to a good start now. 24 points a game.
I'm just saying that
shooting
I don't think
44% from three.
I don't think it's unrealistic for Keegan to be in that category. Okay, if we're saying
it's tough,
I think hold on now. I think it's closer for Keegan to be a closer version of Kawhi. I think Keegan could get closer to Kawhi than Sabonis to Jokic.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I don't think Sabonis is anywhere.
Because a lot of people say
Sabonis
is a generic store.
Yeah.
Jokic.
Yeah. I just don't. I'm looking at Kawhi here, and Kawhi's a five-time All-Star. He's a five-time All-NBA, seven-time All-Defense. He's part of the NBA All-75 team. There's no. I'm sorry. I don't see Keegan Murray.
I'm not trying to
Murray.
Put you in a bad position.
I don't feel like I'm more than fine putting that out there. I don't think Keegan can get to that level. I don't think Sabonis is. I think like the Jokic thing. I feel like Jokic is just feel wise and he's got a different level. He's got that it that just Sabonis is definitely good, but he doesn't have that special crazy quality. I don't feel bad in saying that I don't think Keegan can get to Kawhi's level, but I don't also think that has to be some big, insult.
No, and look, as we get into some Niners talk later in the show, we've talked about it before, everybody wants their guy to be a dude, right?
For
so
sure.
Why not coming off of 47 points? Of course, there are going to be some people that think, why not? Keegan could get there.
I didn't think he could get to 47.
Sure.
So.
Well, exactly. And to your point, the Kawhi situation can be confusing. And I think that argument becomes, well, how should we look at Kawhi because of the games he's missed? A lot of people would say the best ability is availability.
For sure.
So Kawhi is just a really curious career in general. But I think people are just seeing the type of player that Keegan is. People would rather, especially right now, put Keegan in the Kawhi variant category than the Klay Thompson variant category. And I would probably say that he's somewhere in the middle because I think he creates more than Klay. He might already be creating more than Klay ever has right now.
Yeah, I think the greater point is that he's doing it on both ends of the floor. I think that's the thing if you're going to say variant or disciple or whatever. It's the fact that both of those guys, Kawhi and Klay, you could talk about the specifics of what makes a guy more Klay than Kawhi, but the point is that both of those guys are elite offensive players while also at the same time being one of the best defenders in the NBA. And that's where I could see Keegan heading towards that direction. But even then, I have questions on, because we saw him struggle, and granted he's figuring it out now as you read out that Frankie tweet, but he did struggle to do both at the same time to start the year.
Yeah.
And I think that's really, really tough. Now, of course, it's only his second season, but that's going to have to be something that it's going to go up another level in the playoffs. Like, mm-hmm. you're going to have to defend even harder and hit maybe be equally as efficient in
the
playoffs.
You ain't playing the Jazz in the playoffs.
Yeah, exactly.
You're not playing the Jazz in the playoffs.
To your point earlier, like, that's what makes this upcoming week kind of really important for the Kings. Now, it's not end-all, be-all, but if Keegan can continue to play in this fashion against the Celtics, against the T-Wolves, against the Suns, well, like, those are playoff-quality opponents, and that's where you start to wonder, okay, maybe this dude can do this just every single night against any competition and not just against the Utah Jazz, who don't have, you know, any real, like, legitimate all-star players besides Lauri Markkanen.
All right, got to get to a break. When we get back, talking JTA joining Sacramento. Sals and Watkins, Sactown Sports.